This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Indy Combine ongoing. Ryan Fowler is there. He has done a great job covering the draft over the last several years for the Draft Network. You can follow Ryan on X on Twitter, at underscore Ryan Fowler underscore. He joins us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. So before we get to what's next in the NFL, it's been a while since I've had you on. What did you make of Washington's season, in particular Jaden Daniels' season?
Yeah, first things first, Kevin. You know, it has been a little while. You know, I hope all is well with you, man. It's always good talking ball
too,
with you.
Right.
Jaden was sensational this year, right? It's been, you know, 3 decades coming, except for, of course, the 1 year in 2012. But it's really exciting for what this franchise can be moving forward. You know, you're starting to lay this foundation, not with just Jaden, but with Mike Sanders still, guys like Johnny Newton that are now going to have a larger opportunity, of course, with John Allen probably likely out. And I'm very excited, you know, personally, to see what Adam Peters, what Dan Quinn, what they're going to do with the rest of this roster, because it's a good time to, you know, be following the burgundy and gold, and the only way up is right now. So it's an exciting time for sure, Kevin.
Ryan does a lot of work covering the Commanders as well, hosts of Commanding the Huddle. So what do you think should be the approach here in the offseason?
Yeah, I think first things first, you know, I think what's great about this whole process, you know, we're here at the Combine right now, but free agency here is in, you know, just a little bit of time. And really whatever Adam Peters and his staff wants to do in that window is going to really paint the picture as far as what they want to do in the draft. Now, if you were to ask me right now what the major roster holes for this organization are, I am still scared at perimeter corner. You know, Mike Sanders still is the best corner on the roster right now for me. I can't sit here and say Marshawn Lattimore is the all-pro that we've seen in New Orleans. He just was abysmal the back end of the year. Edge, they absolutely have to add a guy or two. Do they want to add another flex weaponized head end? I'm not sure. Do they add a tackle? I think running back, absolutely, whether you want one or not, considering the four guys that you've had in this year. So there's just a lot of players, really, in this draft where you're going to find guys day one, day two, day three. Even though, Kevin, it's a top-heavy draft, there's 4 or 5 blue chippers. But when you get into that day two, day three bucket and you trust your football staff, you're going to find a lot of contributors on all 3 days.
Are you philosophically in the camp that I'm in, which is we're actually, for the first time in 3-plus decades, we've got a championship window? It won't be the last one with Jaden, but it's the first one because of his rookie deal, and that they should be thinking big, and they should be thinking about a roster that can go win the Super Bowl in 2025 and in 2026.
Yeah, it's crazy to say, right? You know, 1 year, it's amazing how things can change so quickly. But, you know, I've even talked to some Eagles folks and said, hey, you know, I'm glad you guys won it this year, because Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, that roster was in year one of this thing. You know, you had a bunch of 1 year flyers on some guys at a lot of different spots. And, you know, what this team's going to look like even moving into the next 2-3 years is very different from the success we saw in 2024. But the bottom line is you got your guy under center. And I fully expect Jaden Daniels, as he's looked this year, to be an MVP candidate moving into hopefully the next decade or more in Washington. So I just think the biggest thing, Kevin, right now is where they've approached this thing from free agency, adding guys, you know, filling holes, but also looking at the draft to where I'm excited even moving into this year for guys like Dom Hampton and for guys like Jordan McGee that have really been forgot about a little bit in that last draft class to where I think they're going to get a bigger opportunity here in 2025 as far as versatile second and third level defenders, guys that really fit the modern day defensive scheme and exactly what Joe Witt wants to do.
You agree that defense should be the emphasis before anything else?
I do. You know, there's a lot of attention every single year as far as, you know, offense, as far as receivers, quarterbacks, running backs, putting the most points up. But as the Eagles proved again against Mahomes, you got to win the trenches and on the offensive line, defensive line. And in this class, where I could sit here, Kevin, we could talk for hours about how many darn players there are that are going to be contributors along the defensive line. Edge is a big focus for me. And if you're at 29 right now, I don't think a Jahad Campbell is there at 29. You know, a lot of his work primarily in the offseason has been at edge. We know that Joe Witt wants to utilize a guy like that, even like a Frankie Louvu type of role where you can play off ball or you can play with your hand in the dirt a little bit. But defense, absolutely, was specifically within the front seven. You got to get more pop. You got to get younger at some certain positions. And you got to have guys, bottom line, that can win isolated. You know, a lot of the time for Washington this year, Kevin, it was a lot of twists, a lot of stunts, a lot of games up front to try to create these isolated matchups. I need guys that can win one-on-one. And there's a lot of guys in this class that can do that on all 3 days.
Before we get to the draft class and everything that's going on out in Indy, are you in favor of making a run at Myles Garrett if he were available?
I am. You know, immediately you look at Myles away from just, you know, what he's done. He would immediately, for me, become the most talented player, one of the most talented defensive players ever to wear the Burgundy Gold, right, along with the Sean Taylors of the world and guys of yesteryear. So I'm absolutely in support of that. You know, you mentioned earlier as far as the Super Bowl window. I think they're in that window. You add a guy like that, that opens up opportunities for other guys elsewhere. So I'm fully in support of that, absolutely.
Real quickly, back to the draft and looking at edges. At 29, you know, you mentioned a player. First of all, I'm curious if a guy like Mike Green, from Marshall, do you think he would be available at 29 or not?
As the weeks progress, Kevin, I don't think he's going to be there at 29. Okay. But I will say this. There's one thing about Mike. You know, the pass rush repertoire is great to see, but he's a very, very underrated run defender. And
exactly.
Even just working my way around Indy this week, it pops on tape. And that's a guy you can throw in an early down. So I don't think he's going to be there at 29.
Okay, because I mean, you want obviously a disruptive, you know, havoc wreaking pass rusher, but they have to have somebody next year that can set the edge against the run. I mean, that's where they were hurt, I think, more than anywhere else. I mean, they got run on all year, right, Ryan? And a lot of that was by elite level running backs. You know, when you go back, I don't think anybody faced the slew of elite backs that Washington faced, but it was C gap and outside of that they were really struggling. So, in looking at Green, I thought that's a guy, if he slipped there, they have a chance to maybe kill two birds with one stone. All right. Give us a list, if you don't mind, if you have it, of the players that they've met with or are planning on meeting with in Indy.
Yeah, absolutely. I could pull up a couple guys that I have. You know, there's still more to come, of course.
I saw the Genty tweet.
Yes, Genty. Met with Genty, and I also put out Billy Bowman Jr., the safety from Oklahoma. I believe they have one coming up with Joshua Farmer, interior defensive lineman from Florida State. As well. And they also met this week with C.J. Dupree, tight end from Alabama, formerly of Maryland.
Oh, yeah, I remember Dupree at Maryland. Yep. So Genty's not going to be there at 29. We agree on that, right?
100%, he will not be there. No.
Okay, so they're looking at back. I mean, the Washington would never trade up for a back. You don't think they'd do that, do you?
No, and I will say this too, Kevin. I like Genty, but I have Amarian Hampton right there with him. And in this class, where there's a lot of guys on day two and even day three, that I would say I could wait, considering that the Commanders don't have a ton of draft capital, you know. And I think you can wait and you definitely don't have to move up for a guy, because I don't see, for me, Kevin, that Genty is not in that Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs category for me.
I don't think any of them are in this draft. Do you think Hampton is?
No, I do not. I do not. I think both those guys are first-round talents. I project them as RB1s for sure at the next level. But, you know, Bijan and Jameer were superstar, dynamic type of playmakers that you can build all even your offense around. I'm not saying that Gentier Campton can't be that, but they're just in a different tier for me.
Don't you think that's interesting, Ryan, where we were just a few years ago on running backs? And then when, you know, you see a season with a Saquon Barkley, a Derrick Henry, a Bijan Robinson, who was sensational. I mean, I'm still trying to figure out why Detroit didn't give Montgomery's carries to Gibbs in the playoff game. I think they would have been better off had they done that. We've seen a resurrection of the position, and I'm wondering if you think that'll be, you know, lifted, you know, emphasized more in the upcoming draft.
Yeah, it will. And I think when you look at even just the tendencies, right, of the modern day defenses, where of course everyone wants to live in too high and stop you throwing the ball. Well, if we got a guy, you know, that we can have five at the surface area along the line of scrimmage and we can beat you and even just keep our tight end in, force you to bring a safety up, and then we're going to beat you over the top. But also in this class, Kevin, you know, some of these bigger ball carriers on day two, the Cam Scattaboos, Damian Martinez from Miami, Ollie Gordon from Oklahoma State, I do too. You know, he's just a physical type of player. And I think those guys, there's not a lot of them in this class. There's a lot of these 5'10 to 5'11 smaller, shiftier ball carriers like Jordan James, Woody Marks, RJ Harvey, and these bigger ball carriers, these projectable RB1s, are going to boost up some boards because of their physical nature, which is going to be interesting to really see on day two just how fast these guys start flying off the board.
I loved Martinez at Oregon State even before last year. I thought it was great there. I think the big, like, we talked about Scattaboo yesterday, I think, on the show. I mean, he is one tough SOB. There's no doubt about that. And he's got some, you know, versatility as a pass catcher, but I don't think he's got great vision as a runner. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I want to see more of it. You know, there's even for me, he reminds me a little bit of a guy last year that came out of Missouri. Now, Scattaboo is a better player than this kid, but Cody Schrader, that was at the senior bowl, reminds me of him as far as a guy that was a really good story. You know, Cam going from Sac State down to Arizona State and doing what he did. He's going to have a role, whether that's as an RB1 for a team. I personally just don't see that. I do expect him to get some looks as a fullback and do some different things for an offense. But as far as just saying, hey, we're going to hand it to you 20-plus times a game, and we need you to, you know, create on first and 10 and also be a guy on third and five in space or to pick up a linebacker through the A-gaps, there's just some different things in his game I want to see him fine-tune. But, you know, Cam's a good player. We're in the 60s and 70s. He's a guy you draft as the first overall. But it's a different day and age, and I think just some teams are going to prioritize more of those dynamic type of ball carriers, like even a Breshard Smith from SMU, potentially over a guy like Cam.
NFL Draft Network's Ryan Fowler, who's a big guy on Washington as well. So they have two wide receivers currently under contract. That's it. Terry, who we think they'll extend, and then Luke McCaffrey. So what are they going to do? I mean, I think they're going to re-sign Zacchaeus. I think that's coming soon. That's just a hunch. It's not based on any information. But how do you see... And what's your vision of what the wide receiver room looks like next year?
Yeah, I sure as heck hope that Luke McCaffrey takes a step. You know, this guy was a top 100 pick. You know, I get it. He was a guy that was fell behind the scenes a little bit this year, and Jaden fed a lot of guys. But, you know, you're adding Peters working into year two, where, as you mentioned, Kevin, it's only him and Terry. You know, I don't think in any world Adam Peters or Dan Quinn are going to say feel comfortable that we want Luke McCaffrey as our wide receiver two in our offense. So, does that come via free agency? You know, we'll see. They obviously have a lot of stuff, a lot of capital to be able to add a guy if they want. But in this draft class, you know, there's a lot of guys, again, in that day two, day three bucket, I feel like I keep mentioning because, you know, whether it's a Tez Johnson from Oregon, now the size, I will say this, that's a common knack on Tez, but I think he's a flat-out ball player. That does remind me of Tank Dell. Or do you want to go more of the bigger physical type of players like a Jaden Higgins from Iowa State or even a Pat Bryant from Illinois? So there's a lot of guys in this class I feel like they're going to be able to add. And I think the bottom line is when you have a guy under center that can elevate every single individual and skill set around him, no matter who you are, Olamide Zaccheaus, Noah Brown, doesn't matter, Kevin. It makes life a little bit easier as far as we don't have to get flat-out studs like a Malik Nabers on the outside to make life easier on our quarterback.
Any chance that Luther Burden drops to 29?
Oh, there's absolutely a chance. I'll say this, you know, even some conversations this week, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we see both Luther Burden and Tator McMillan be available when we get to the early 20s. I wouldn't be surprised at all. So Luther is a guy, you know, there's been some Deebo Samuel comparisons. I don't understand why we always have to give comparisons to guys of the elites of their position as far as dynamic, versatile skill sets. I don't see Deebo in Luther Burden's game. I get the yak stuff. It's sometimes similar. But
I don't see the physicality that Deebo has. I mean, Debo's at a different level competitively and physically. But Burden's ability after the catch is incredible.
Yes, correct. And that's also, and even in Washington's offense, where you want to get guys in space and advantageous matchups, and Jaden has obviously done a great job getting the ball out of his hands, that's a guy that would obviously succeed. However, if he's not there at 29, and you want a guy maybe that has a similar-ish skill set, I look to day three, probably in that fourth, fifth-round bucket of a guy like LaJonte Wester from Colorado. You know, all the attention, Kevin, this year was Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter, Deion Sanders, and LaJonte coming in from FAU, watching him at the Shrine Bowl, watching him at Colorado to where the separation will always translate. That's a player to keep an eye on as a dynamic type of playmaker, if indeed, Kevin, you know, Olamide doesn't come back this year.
Just out of curiosity, where is Ty Felton from Maryland projected to go?
I would be very surprised he gets out of the second round right now. He's continued to check boxes, whether it was at Maryland, whether it was at the Senior Bowl. Heard a lot of good things as far as what he's going to do here in Indy. I know T-shirt and shorts isn't everything for these guys as far as teams bumping and moving guys up their boards. But I'd be very surprised if Ty Felton got out of day two, because I think he's one of those guys, Kevin, that's a little bit underrated, as is Caden Prather as well for Maryland.
I agree with Prather as well, but Felton really was something else this year. But by the way, just mentioning that you don't see McMillan and Burden going, or the receiver run starting until the 20s. I mean, we're in a different, you know, a different draft than recent drafts. So you really think McMillan doesn't go before somewhere around, because I'm assuming you don't have a receiver in front of him unless you have a Buka in front of him.
I do not. No, okay. I have McMillan, Burden, Matthew Golden, and Egbuka really in a tight tier one in this class for me.
Okay. All right. As a Washington, you know, follower, if I told you they got a running back that you really liked in the draft, or they got a wide receiver that you really liked in the draft, but they didn't get both, which of the two positions would you prefer for Washington?
I would prefer running back. You need a guy that can take the load off of Jaden Daniels a little bit. You know, there was so much asked of him with his arm and with his legs, to where how many games did we see specifically the back end of the year and even in the playoffs, to where it was Jaden leading, of course, through the air and also with his legs. And you just got to get a guy you can turn to potentially 15, 17, 18 times a game and say, hey, we need you to create on early downs and on passing downs as well. So I think there's just so many guys in this class, differentiating body types, different skill sets. So I would prioritize running back. Where is that? Where they take them? Day one, day two, day three? I don't know. We will see. But there are so many guys in this class that are going to be high-level contributors, and they need one. They need a playmaker at the position that, unfortunately, you know, Brian Robinson, I like the talent, but just there's a lot of things in his game that are just have not improved since he came into Washington from Bama.
You know, Ryan, I think two things that I have not been able to figure out, even as we sit here, you know, heading into March, about the season just finished up. I still can't tell you specifically why they were so bad against the run. I don't think anybody's got an obvious answer, because they do have some good players on defense. Wagner's really good. Luvu's really good. I thought Chin had a good season. And then the second part is, with a dynamic dual threat quarterback, and they were, you know, in an offense where he was presented as a run threat a lot of the time, you know, as true dual threat, I can't believe the backs didn't feast more. It doesn't, like Alfred Morris, you know, had the all-time rushing season for Washington with a dual-threat quarterback. I can't figure out why a lot of the zone read stuff didn't produce more for the running backs.
Yeah, I will say this. You know, looking at the body types within this offensive line, you know, even looking at Kingsbury's days, right back in Arizona, to where Allegretti, Biotish, Cosme. I mean, Cosme is a high-level athlete himself. But these guys are very thick in the upper half, kind of want to live on that vertical plane. Brandon Coleman's a rookie. Andrew Wiley is kind of this you know, average to probably slightly below average NFL right tackle. He's not your atypical right tackle where he gets after people and moves guys in the ground game. You know, they're from a skill set perspective, I thought they were better in pass pro than in the ground game, where at times, you know, in the ground game, they really look like strategically placed road cones at times. You know, they're not getting off guys in duo and working up to the second level. They're not doing anything like that at times. So I think I like the offensive line group moving into next year. I do. But just looking at the skill sets that were added last year and even some of the things that Jaden did to mask this group up front, both on the ground and through the air, you know, I think it's another spot to maybe they bring in a guy in this class, maybe another athlete along the interior to provide some pop and some competition for some of these guys.
Interesting. Or they could move Coleman inside and take a tackle, I guess. Ryan, thanks. Great job. Appreciate it. I'll reach out again before the draft. I really appreciate the time.
Absolutely. Thanks as always, Kevin. We'll talk soon, man.
Ryan Fowler, everybody. Finish up with a note that just broke in 2 minutes.